There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Second hour of the show, and in the last part of the first hour, we were asking you about innovations in sport, and a number of you have been texting in about that. Fazmin, thank you very much indeed for this one. We have a new spinner in the Sri Lanka T20 squad, Kamindu Mendes, who could bowl left and right arm spin. He may feature in the T20 against England this evening, so one to look out for. Mark Archer.
Yeah, look out for that. 5:30 p.m. UAE time. Looking forward to see a man that can bowl left arm orthodox spin and right arm orthodox spin. So that'll be interesting. Take the ball away from the left-hander or the right-hander. Yeah, that match gets underway, Tom, at 5:30 in Colombo. That's Sri Lanka hosting England, the only T20 international between these two teams, which has been interesting because a lot of players, like Chris Jordan, the Englishman, was in Barbados. He's flying there for four overs of bowling, and that's a long way to go for a couple of overs for a few of those players. One T20 international only in the Sri Lankan-England series.
Another one here from Mike. I'm going to throw it open to you. We're going to talk golf in more detail later on. Saying, hi, guys. What about Phil Mickelson and the moving putt? Now, I don't know the answer to that one. Was that left-hand, right-hand or not?
Moving putt, I think, and do confirm if I'm right on this, Mike, but the idea that, remember when he just ran after it during the US Open.
I think we're talking more about the gamesmanship or the rules changing and... I can't remember what event it was. He was playing
US Open. It was when the course management, the US
greens, the greens were so quick. He was hitting multiple putts. The ball was running way past the hole. He ran after
it. Crazy golf.
And whacked it towards. Took a two-shot penalty. Yeah. And moved on, and a lot of people said he should have been disqualified.
Yeah, he should have been disqualified.
We've been talking about innovation in sport. We've been talking about what sports men and women in different sport do just to gain that little extra advantage over their opposition at the highest level of sport. I was asking Mark Archer for his knowledge in all things rugby whilst we were during that break as well. So we're of the opinion that the most international or most professional rugby players now who are charged with kicking the ball can kick off both legs.
I think most world class quality fly halves or 50, 15s, or most players now, if you're a kicker and most players have to kick the ball, whether if you're in the backs and if you're occasionally a forward like Zinzan Brooker, used to like a good punt of the ball as well, can kick off both feet. They can drop goal the likes of Johnny Wilkinson. We saw win a World Cup with a drop goal off his right foot. He's a left footer in Australia back in 2003. So we see guys, and I think that's probably a learnt skill. They've basically spent time on the practice. They're not born naturally with two talented feet. Like the likes of Johnny Wilkinson, left footer, kicked his penalties with left foot, did all his place kicking, his punting with his left foot, but had the ability to learn a skill like drop kicking off his right foot. Dan Carter, another one who's a left footer, learned to kick off his right as well. So, I think the very, very best players now in rugby union can kick off both feet just as well.
Chris McCarty, could you, not ask personally, but could one survive in the Premier League today with one foot?
No.
Not literally, not physically.
Big you saw able to kick off. With that. Could they? Yes.
You'd probably lack a yard of pace, wouldn't you? That's for sure. But
who is the most one-footed player, the best player in world football, who's really one-footed? Who can you say just doesn't have a left foot or doesn't have a right foot? Who would you put in that bracket?
I mean, Messi. Messi does pretty much everything with the left. I mean, I'm not saying for one second he can't use his right. He can. He scored goals with his right. But if you think of predominantly one-footed, and I've had this conversation numerous times, I think it's a real fault of coaches in the UK, certainly when I was growing up. Work on your weaknesses. Work on your weaknesses. Work on your left foot. No, work on your strengths. When Messi was a young boy, he would have been told by his young coaches, you have got a God-given talent, you're prodigiously talented, make that left foot the very best that you can make it. And that's what he's done. So he would spring to mind. Cristiano Ronaldo, from a right-footed perspective, you don't often see him use the left foot, do you, in terms of Cristiano?
He could. I'm just wondering whether there is. Is there somebody that we could think of? Okay, let's bring it down to crossing or something like that. So yeah, pinging down a wing, and he's got to check back to get onto his right foot in order to cross.
Ashley Young.
Ashley.
I mean, as an example.
I've got one. He's got the wrong Man United player. Antonio Valencia.
Oh, okay.
Does not have a left foot. does not have one. And he is so one-dimensional that if I'm a fullback up against Antonio Valencia, he's not going to cross on him, and I know what he's going to do every single time. He is absolutely the wrong one, but you're right to say Ashley Young kind of as well. But Antonio Valencia, in terms of a top-level footballer whose left foot is way below the standard that they're playing, Antonio Valencia.
We've had lots of other suggestions come through. Benji Artekop down here, he said Marin Bartoli, apparently she could hit off both left and right at will. Somebody's been texting in about squash. Apparently it's quite regular in top-level squash that you change the hand that you're holding the racket to play the ball. So obviously that's
interesting.
Part and parcel of the game.
Yeah,
around the
I can see that in squash because it's such a fast game and you have to run and lunge and sort of stretch a lot. And obviously by being able to switch hands, you get an extra reach on that shot. So I could see that. And you're trying to defend, say, a drop shot, and you're really reaching into the corner to use your other hand just to get the ball back up and play, it would happen pretty regularly.
Here's a quiz question. Anyone, and I'm sure no one is listening, who has listened to Sports Tonight about 3 years ago when I asked this quiz question. There are two players in Premier League history who have scored penalties with both their right and their left foot. 4001. Do not cheat on this. It is the impossible quiz question. I've asked it to everyone and no one can get it. But if anyone is out there that knows the answer to that without cheating, I will be very impressed.
And what's the other one? It always helps, Tom, to know the question for the quiz question before you give an answer. No, but I can never remember whether it's two or three or four. But
are you going to tell us the answer now before?
No, I won't tell you the answer, but I'll tell you there are somewhere between two and four. Name the sports that could only be played by a right-hander. Name the sports that
polo.
Can only be... Polo is one, for sure. Horse polo is one. Can only be played by a right-hander.
Oh,
there are a couple
I'm loving
of others
the quiz
out there
questions.
Well.
Oh, right hand.
If you know the answer, 4001, then do let us know. I think one of those that we worked out earlier is not baseball. Is that right, Mark Archer?
No, you can be left and right-handed.
Okay,
you...
what happened earlier on today?
Baseball World Series Game 3. It was an epic game, Tom. It was the match that lasted 18 innings. Let's put that into perspective. 9 innings is what a normal baseball game takes. This took 18 innings, 7 hours and 20 minutes. It's the longest game in World Series history. It was separated, though, by one man. It was the Dodgers, LA Dodgers' Max Muncy, that hit a walk-off solo home run. It gave the home team, the Dodgers, a 3-2 victory. They only now trail the Red Sox 2-1 in the best-of-7 World Series. Let's listen over and over and over again to this solo home run in different languages, on different formats, because it gets better every time, particularly by the final version, which I think's in Spanish. Here's Max Muncy hitting the walk-off solo home run for the Dodgers.
Muncy flies one in the air to left center, back at the wall, and it's gone! It's over! Muncy, a walk-off home run to win game 3 in the 18th.
It's a tough month. 3-2, swung on and lifted in the air to left center field. Jackie going back, Jackie to the wall. This ball's gone and the Dodgers win it. Max Muncy, a World Series walk-off winner. And the Dodgers have taken their first game in the series. It's now a 2-1 Red Sox advantage.
Baldy on 3-2. Fly ball, left center field, well hit. Back at the wall, and the longest World Series game in history has come to an end. A mighty blast by Max Muncy. The Dodgers are back from the dead. They win it 3-2. They move back to within 2-1.
Hacia territorio del jardín izquierdo, Max Muncy, peligro, atención rápidamente. A lo profundo.
Diego Maradona, of course, there.
Oh, it's brilliant. Oh, it's brilliant. It shows how what a global game it is now.
Baseball's massive in Mexico, Puerto Rico, a lot of the South American countries. We always say it's Americans' national pastime, but it's also massive in countries in the Americas like Canada and, of course, in Central America and South America. So that was Max Muncy hitting that solo home run. The Dodgers won 3-2. They trail the Red Sox 2-1. Let's have a quick listen to Muncy saying he thinks they can get back into the series now. Game 4 tomorrow back in L.A.
Max, what does it say about your team that you not only survived that game, you won that game?
it's not much different than the whole season for us. You know, we've been fighting for our lives since April, and we got to here tonight. Really long game. Talk about a good pitcher over there. He was doing just about anything he wanted with the ball, and on top of that, he was throwing 101 miles an hour. So, you know, hats off to him for that game he pitched. That was unbelievable. But, you know, for us to be able to get this, you got to feel like it gives us momentum going in tomorrow. You know, they used a lot of their pitchers tonight. So did we. But, you know, I feel good about Rich going tomorrow.
Take me through your at-bat for the game-winning home run in the 18th.
Well, you know, first two at-bats, I was feeling really good off him. That last at-bat, once he I got up 3-0, and once he fought back, he kind of went same sequences as he did the at-bat before. So he tried to go back to our cutter again. That was the pitch he got me to strike out on him before. And, you know, this one caught a little more of the plate, and thankfully a little more of my barrel.
How close did the one in the 15th come to going out of here? Fair.
Unbelievably close. I thought I had that one, and it was kind of heartbreaking to see it called foul. You know, and then he, like I said, he made a really good pitch on me, but you feel really defeated at that point because you thought you had it, and then you got to go back out there and go to work. But, you know, thankfully I got another chance.
This is The Grill. Tweet the team at Dubai Eye Sport.
Liverpool against Cardiff is our 6 p.m. kickoff, live here on Dubai Eye 103.8. We'll be catching up with TalkSport just after 5 with team news for you ahead of Liverpool Cardiff. And then Leicester and West Ham is live from 8:30 this evening, so stay tuned for that one. What's happening in the football at the moment? We've got half time in the Championship.
We do indeed, Tom. It's been a real good game this up at the Riverside Stadium. It is second placed Middlesbrough taking on fifth placed Derby County at the halftime whistle. It was Middlesbrough 0, Derby 1. Real good start to the game. It has gone down, incidentally, as well. There's not a Martin Waghorn goal, but an own goal from the Middlesbrough left wing back George Friend. It did finish off a quite exquisite passing move from Derby, who in that opening 20 minutes played some of the best football that I've seen in the English Championship under Frank Lampard. They are a team bag fulls of youth. Harry Wilson on loan from Liverpool, Mason Mount on loan from Chelsea as well. Martin Waghorn, one of their big recruits in the summer. They paid money for him, an awful lot of money from Ipswich. I think it was about £5 million. But they have dominated, for the most part, have Derby. They're thoroughly deserving of their lead at half-time at the Riverside in the northeast of England. It is Middlesbrough 0, Derby County 1.
There's also a goal over in Spanish La Liga. Rayo Vallecano have pulled one back against Girona. It's 2-1 at the moment with 25 minutes?
Yeah, 25 minutes indeed. Yeah, it was Porto who scored an opening double salvo for Girona to give them a 2-0 lead at half-time. Alejandro Galvez has recently, though, just after the hour mark, pulled one back. So Rayo Vallecano very much back in this one. Two of the sides that you wouldn't expect to see competing for honours come the end of the season over in La Liga, but it's the early kickoff nonetheless, of course, whetting the appetite ahead of tomorrow evening's big one. The first El Clasico of the season at the Camp Nou. It is Barcelona against Real Madrid. That one tomorrow evening off at 7:15 local
Let's
time.
Let's talk cricket by way of football. Mark Archer, where do you stand on the debate of cricketers warming up with a football?
I think we've had the debate before, haven't we? But, and this is mainly due to the English team that love a game of footy before as part of their warm-up sort of program before an international. We have seen some niggly injuries before, or players getting a bit fired up, whether it be during the week or immediately in the morning before a match starts. And I know we saw your good friend Johnny Bairstow suffer an injury during the one-day series in Sri Lanka, which is now cost him a couple of matches.
Yep.
Which, again, when you're in a World Cup year next year and you're wanting to do your best to impress the coach, probably getting injured playing football before a 50-over ODI is probably not the best recommendation, because you're giving up the chance to play for your country and someone else might grab that with both hands.
But my only argument with this one is, and give me your thoughts, is that you've got to warm up somehow, haven't you?
Exactly.
So whether you're warming up with a football or a rugby ball, does it really make any difference?
I guess the worry is that the players are going in and tackling other players.
Yeah.
But if there's sort of a no-tackle rule, which I'm sure there is, I'm sure it's a non-physical game of football, and it's plenty of passing and lots of shots on goal without a lot of tackling, I'm sure that's mandated amongst the players, then it's probably okay. We know a lot of teams warm up playing, say, you know, you look at the New Zealand teams, they'll warm up playing touch rugby again. But if someone slips and injures, they could be doing a fielding drill, they could be bowling, they could be stepping into a foothold. It could suffer. And you can't Manny Cottle, Baby Cottle players through everything they do in a warm-up situation. But if he was injured due to a wayward flying two-footed lunge from someone, you'd have a major issue. If he's just pulled up with a niggly hammy, it was probably likely it was going to happen whether he was doing some running up, running, warming and bending, picking up, throwing drills, as it was catching drills, running in the outfield. So
from what I know, his ankle ligament, he went over on it during the warm-up, and that's something that, I mean, we've seen time and time again. Glenn McGrath is a great example, isn't he, stepping on a ball and missing that crucial test match. I suppose, yeah, you're right, and you like a conspiracy theory as good as I do. If it was Joss Butler or Sam Billings or someone who wants the gloves coming in with a two-footed studs high challenge or something like that, you know something's amiss, don't you?
And I think England, the England cricket team, are
eyes on that keeping spot for a World Cup.
I'm sure plenty of teams. I think the Indian cricket team also warm up playing football. A lot of the teams will do it, and they enjoy doing it. So, as sure as there's some rules and regulations laid down by the coaching staff, I'm sure they'll keep playing football before day's play, warming up as part of their warm-up routine.
I'd love that, by the way, just thinking now, big match, Manchester United against Chelsea an hour before kickoff, and those boys are having a game of cricket out
of Old Trafford.
That would be awesome. Bring that out. I'd love to see that.
A couple of throwdowns, a few mitts out. The
funniest thing, we talk about England warming up, and apparently Ben Stokes always plays in goal, and always, he has his own goalkeeping gloves. So he's like the goalie in the warm-up team. So it's probably the old guys in the team versus the young guys. Well, there's some sort of hierarchy of team, and they play this matches. But apparently Ben Stokes is always the goalkeeper. He has his own goalkeeping gloves. So he's just standing around. There's not really even getting him warming up, is it? He's not even running and moving anywhere.
We have asked a number of questions of our listeners this afternoon, but the penny's dropped a little for me, that it is very rare that sportsmen in a sport would choose another sport to do their warm-up. I can't think of another sport. You wouldn't see, all jokes aside, you wouldn't see footballers warming up with a game of cricket before they're taking to the pitch.
Oh, yeah.
Formula One.
Well, it's not going to be WWE wrestling or MMA, is there?
I mean, but it is unique in that regard, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I genuinely can't think of another sport in which...
Tennis, they like a bit of a keepy-uppy, don't they? But it's more of a sort of traditional warm-up, isn't it? Yeah, I can't think of any, unless anyone else can out there. Feel free to send in your thoughts on 4001. I love that whole idea that you were talking there about hierarchy in teams as well. I've been watching over the weekend, I don't know if you've seen, I'm sure you have, this All or Nothing, the All Blacks.
I haven't seen that yet, but there's a number of... I've been trying to find it, actually.
Mate, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
Is it?
Really, really, really good.
What is it exactly?
You know the All or Nothing Man City?
Yeah.
Same thing.
And they've done it with the Dallas Cowboys. They've done it with one of the American football college sides, but there's All Blacks behind the scenes for almost a season, isn't it?
What goes on in practice?
All the stuff that you don't see happen.
Consider that watched tonight.
Mate, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And we was watching it with them.
What's your takeaway? What's your sort of...
It's just a really good one that they did. I mean, they're just an extraordinary team, extraordinary mindset that goes into it. Stephen Hansen is an enigma in so many ways, and it's interesting to see how he just butts heads with the rest of his coaching staff. They've got him mic'd up the whole time, and he's like, they've got this brilliant scene where him just in the training before the first Lions test, and he's on the sideline, he goes, I think Rico should come over the other wing, let's put him on 11. And you can see all the coaches going, you are laugh, aren't you? You are having an absolute laugh. We're not doing that, coach. That is the most ridiculous thing. He's 19 years old. You can't give him a debut on the wrong wing against a British and Irish Lions team. You are having a laugh. And we can't drop Julian Surveyor for that. There's no way you can do that. He said,
You're almost there. It was moving Julian Surveyor from the left wing.
Yeah.
So they said, we need to play Rico. He's on form, but he only plays left wing. Let's move Julian Surveyor to the right wing. And he scored 40 tries and 40 matches on the left wing. Yeah. So it's a positional change.
Revered number 11 of jersey as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's Steve Hansen who, despite coaches scratching their head, give it a go.
And they go, but boss, he doesn't play that position. He plays on the other. It's light for light. He says, no, let's check it around. They won't be waiting. They'll expect. I see it as a possible, this one. Go for it. Try it. They try it, and guess what happens? And he does the whole thing. But my other takeaway was just, you reminded me of it. They interview their bus driver, their coach driver, and he talks about the team etiquette on the team coach and how newbies, debut boys, can't get in. They have to come in mount the bus through the front door. They're not allowed in through the mid door. You have to get X amount of caps in order to access the bus through the middle door. You have to get X amount of caps to sit at the back of the bus. It's always the newbies down the front. But the captain is also not allowed to sit on the back seat. He has to sit on the seat in front of the back seat. And they ask a grunter about this, grunter the bus driver, and he goes, I don't know, I've never actually thought. I've never thought of asking. It's just always been that way.
Amazing.
It makes for some great viewing. Anyway, we digress just a little bit, don't we? What's the time? It's 4:30. We'll take a short break. When we come back, looks like we're going to be talking to Phil Hardy. He's inbound by the looks of things. So we'll get a quick word with the governor, the godfather down here at Barasti. Also, talking cricket, football, rugby, and lots of other sport with you straight after that.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Hope you are enjoying your weekend and hope you're enjoying your sport today as well. Mark Archer's got your cricket updates for us now. Archer, what's the latest?
Yeah, two live international cricket matches. The later match that's starting at 5:30 UAE time, Sri Lanka hosting England in the only T20 international over in Colombo. We'll bring you scores as that match gets underway. But also there's live action, ODI action from Pune, where West Indies are taking on India. West Indies have completed their 50 overs, 283 for 9 they scored. Shea Hope top scored with 95. The Indian reply is just underway, one over gone. They are four without loss. Shikhar Dhawan and Rohit Sharma at the crease, Tom.
Should we hear from Stewie Law? Should we? What's he been up to?
Yeah, Stewie Law has actually been banned for a couple of matches. He's
not been up to much then, has he?
He's been watching from the stands the first two ODIs, but he's back in the driving seat. He's back in the box position for the third ODI. Let's have a listen to Stewart Law talking about the third one-day international between India and the West Indies.
I'd rather be in the dressing room, to be honest. I'm not a very good watcher at the best of times, but when I'm watching by myself, it wasn't much fun. You do get a different perspective of it on TV, which I've managed to, you know, talk into, you know, our training and through the different coaches at our numerous meetings that we do have, whether it be over breakfast or dinner. But to get back into the dressing room, look, the dressing room basically is running itself. You know, the players have played enough cricket now and understand what's needed to be done. It's up to us as the coaches to facilitate what the players need to produce their best out in the field. I won't be saying anything out of the ordinary, just here to support. And with the fast bowlers coming in, I don't think the pressure goes away no matter who we play against. You know, if you're a batsman in a cricket team, you're under pressure to score runs all the time. So the pressure's no different. You know, we've come here and people, I've listened to commentary, I've listened to, you know, numerous sports shows talking about, you know, the match-up between West Indies and India, and not many people have given us a chance of competing in this series. But, you know, that's fuel to our boys' fire. They like being, you know, written off out of a contest. And it gives them an opportunity to go out and play good cricket. So, but there's no extra pressure on us. We've got to go out and, you know, just do our thing, do it better than we can do, what we have been doing. You know, and India have then got to come up with better players.
That's Stewart Law, the West Indies cricket coach. He's leaving his position shortly. He's taking up the job as the head coach for Middlesex County Cricket Club over in the English in the English competition there. So he's leaving the West Indies, going to Middlesex. India are 9 without loss, chasing West Indies' score of 283 for 9. 284 they require for victory. It's a bright start. 2 overs gone, 9 without loss. Sharma on 8 and Dhawan on 1.
I apologise for the guffaw there. I thought about it just a minute ago. I mean, in terms of progression for him, I suppose dealing with Middlesex's board is probably a lot easier than dealing with West Indies cricket board at the moment on a day-to-day basis. However, giving up your villa on one of the Leeward Islands for a two-bed in Staines might be a little different.
You'd be asking for a place in St John's Wood, surely, Tom, close to HQ, where you can get to your boys in the nets at Lords and get it done there. Yeah, but an interesting move for Stewart Law. He's leaving the West Indies and going to... But the West Indies do go through some coaches, though. They do churn them over there in the West Indies. Must be a frustrating job with some talented cricketers there, but tough to get consistency out of the West Indies cricket team. So Stewart Law leaving for English, back to English County Cricket, where he spent a long time playing, particularly at Lancashire. He did as a player, and he'll be going to Middlesex. So that's the West Indies taking on India in the ODI. I can tell you there has been a wicket, though. There has been a wicket just fallen, and it's Rohit Sharma, bowled by Jason Holder for 8. So India 9 for 1, chasing 284 for victory. The match also getting underway later this afternoon is Pakistan. It's Sri Lanka hosting England. It's the only T20 international. England very dominant throughout much of the ODI series. Big win for Sri Lanka in the final ODI during the week, but it will be a fascinating match in the only T20 international. Let's have a quick listen to the England T20 representative Chris Jordan talking about this match. He's had to fly a long way. He was in the Caribbean preparing. He's an Englishman, was back home in the Caribbean preparing. He's flown all the way to Sri Lanka to perhaps only bowl four overs.
Yeah, like any other game, I obviously do my homework like normal. When I step onto the field, try to give my all, because at the end of the day, yeah, it's one game, but I'm putting on an England shirt. So whenever I do put on an England shirt, I want to give 100%.
Mentally prepare for it. You can do that sort of sitting and thinking about it, but the physicality of an over in Sri Lanka is quite different. How are you prepared physically for it, do you think?
Well, luckily I was able to go and visit some family in Barbados just before I came out for a couple of weeks. So yeah, I was training in Barbados for a couple of weeks in very, very similar conditions. So I'm pretty acclimatized. It's not hit me too hard. So yeah, I'm ready to go.
Only one game of T20 in this series. Should it be three? And where do you think international T20 is sitting at the moment with all of the other domestic competitions around the world?
I would have liked it to have been three. But obviously it's one. So, but in terms of international cricket, I guess we have the closest major tournament is a World Cup. And obviously 50-over cricket maybe taking the lead from that point of view. But yeah, I mean, going forward, I'd probably like it, given that I'm currently only involved in T20s, to be 3-3. That would probably make it nice and even. But yeah, it is what it is. I guess I'll leave that to the ICC to sort out.
Well, some say that you shouldn't play international 20-over cricket. Do you agree with them in any way?
No, not at all. Because I think T20 cricket has allowed 50-over cricket to evolve as well. You see with the type of scores and the different facets of the game that are coming about. So yeah, T20 cricket definitely still has a place. It's the pinnacle, so yeah, we keep it going.
Chris Jordan there, who I'm hoping will feature for England a little later on. We won't get team news until toss just before that game, which is under an hour away now.
5:30, yeah, it's a long way to fly. We said he was at home in Barbados preparing for the match. It's a long way to fly for four overs. It's a really long way to fly for a washout and during the middle of the monsoon season in Sri Lanka and to fly all that way and not play a match of cricket. So let's hope we get some action over in Colombo. T20 International, the only one between Sri Lanka and England. And congratulations last night to Pakistan. They wrapped up their T20 series against Australia. Big win, 11-run victory, but they've wrapped the series up 2-0. The third T20 international is tomorrow evening, again up at Dubai Sports City International Cricket Stadium.
And what about Bangladesh as well? They beat Zimbabwe by 7 wickets in the third ODI between those two teams. A couple of other bits of news for you as well. Tim Payne is no longer Australia ODI captain. Mr. Finch has come in. Aaron Finch has taken over in that role. Yet more chops, yet more changes. They need to sort things out.
Well, I guess this is with a view to mine. Tim Payne came in, obviously, not interim captain, but it's done the job now when we saw Steve Smith removed and that whole sort of the sandpaper gate earlier this year. Tough job for him. He's got to keep wicket. He's got to captain the team. It's a tough job mentally. They play so much cricket, and maybe it's his chance to give him a bit of a breather and concentrate on his cricket as opposed to having to captain the team, keep wicket, and keep that team going forward. And maybe they'll look to use some different options in the 50-over format. Of course, Cricket World Cup next year in the UK, in England. They need to really get their team structure and consistent there.
Archie, I'm interested to get your thoughts on another story that has been boosted to headline status. Certainly in the UK, also down under at the moment as well. It surrounds a certain former Australian vice-captain, David Warner. Now, we know that he's still serving at the end of his international ban at the moment, but he is playing club cricket at present, or not, as the case may be, because I understand that he's chosen to leave the field in his latest game.
Well, he left and returned, and the funny thing is we always talk about David Warner, talented cricketer. It always seems to be something going on there when he's around. And those things that happen when he's on the field don't tend to be good things, apart from him scoring runs quickly and being a tremendous player. Controversy tends to follow Mr. Warner, doesn't it? Doesn't matter where he's playing, whether it be in Cape Town, whether he'd be playing a club match, whether he's playing probably in the backyard with his brothers and sisters, there's been controversy with David Warner. And what's happened in a grade match, which is basically a club match, a club cricket match, which he's eligible to play as an amateur in Australia, he walked off whilst he was batting because he got involved in what was being described as a sledging incident. This was earlier today. He was at the time playing for his club side, which was
Bamford.
Randwick, which is a nice suburb, in a nice posh suburb in Sydney, taking on Western Suburbs. And I know Western Suburbs play at Campbelltown. I've been there. I've played there myself. And he was on 35 runs at the time. He was involved in a sledging incident, and he just walked off. He took his bat and literally went home. He was persuaded to go back to the crease. He went on to score 157, so he did okay. But he was involved in a sledging incident, which turned nasty, apparently, on the field. He said, I've had enough of this, I don't need this, and walked off the field. Now, typically in cricket, you are allowed to retire hurt and can come back to the field. I've never heard of a case of retired sledged out and then came back.
You can't.
Well, no, you can't, yeah, technically. So there is no way you can be dismissed as retired sledged or walked off the field.
I think they came to a gentleman's understanding. Western Suburbs were happy for him to come back because it was his birthday.
Which is a term you don't often use with David Warner, gentleman. Doesn't really go in the same sentence. But, yeah, he's been allowed back onto the field. He went on to score 150. I'm sure Western Suburbs was probably quite happy for him to leave the field on 35. But, anyway, I think the point is here, more controversy surrounding David Warner. It always takes two people in these instances. He's batting. The fielding team, I'm sure, would give him a bit of chirp, as you are. It's what happens when you bat. There's two guys against 11 on the field, but I'm sure he's had a bit to say back to the team
Hot
he's playing
back,
against.
A little.
And controversy continues to keep David Warner, you know, in the headlines, and it just seems to follow him around, which is a shame thing. You think he would have learned a lesson or two, whether he wants to play international cricket again. And, you know, we know how talented he is. I still think that he will struggle, that Australian, given this whole new thing about being a new culture, a new way, they just won't pick him again in the future. And he'll make enough money playing T20 cricket.
And the other intriguing thing about this sledging incident, and again, it's all alleged at this point, is the fact that the Australian media are reporting that the sledging of David Warner came from Jason Hughes, who is the brother of the late Philip Hughes, of course, who died tragically out in the middle, a former teammate of David Warner, and it has been reported down in Australia that Jason Hughes had turned around and called David Warner a disgrace to his nation, a disgrace to cricket. So David Warner's taken the huff, he's walked off, and then he's come back to hit 157. So in that regard, he's got the last laugh.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because I was listening to a fascinating podcast with Shane Warne last week. He's been doing the rounds, hasn't he? He's just released his 37th autobiography or whatever. So yet another chapter in a rather colourful life. He was asked the question, though, by Michael Vaughan, who was doing the interview, about the future of Bancroft, of Steve Smith and David Warner. Steve Smith, he thinks, is a shoo-in. He thinks he should be back into the fold already. In fact, thinks he's hard done by. He can't see a way back in. And this is... he was very honest about it, saying, you know why? Because I see a bit of myself in my bad days in David Warner. He's a bit of a Brogan. He's a bit loose. He's trying to rein that one in, but he can't get away from, fundamentally, his upbringing.
Confrontation as well.
Yeah, just his character and his background. He said he's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder. He's just that sort of person. He thinks it's going to be very difficult for him to get back into the fold.
Oh, I agree. 32 years old. I mean, look, he's a valuable asset if he's playing well for Australia. There's a 50-over World Cup next year. It's just this whole change of culture. New coach, Darren Layman's gone. Justin Lang is back. Whole new team ethos. You just can't see where David Warner will fit in that Australian team with the way they want to move things forward on the field, culturally, on and off the field with that behaviour, which is a shame. At the same time, he'll go on and play a lot of these T20 competitions. He'll be a freelance cricketer and he'll make plenty of money. And, it's a shame, but he'll probably never wear, I think, personally, he won't wear the baggy green cap again.
But what do we know? Do send us your thoughts by texting them to us now on 4001. Take a break.
Oh, that's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
I can't really guarantee you top debate, but we can guarantee you a bit of banter if you like. It's a Saturday afternoon. We're down at Barasti. The sun is setting. I can't actually see it from here, but the big man, the godfather of Barasti, has just walked in. Phil, is it busy down on the beach at the moment?
The pool's very busy, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's always busy, though.
Well, yeah. I don't really know what else to say on that, but yeah, it is always kind of really busy, so there's nowhere else to go, really,
You're
is
doing something right, Phil.
Well, yeah. We'll keep telling the bosses that, and I'll be here again next week.
We were intrigued about your new construction over on the beach down there at the moment. What's happening down
the
there?
The new development. The new development. Yes, the new array of bar space will be ready very soon.
Okay. So that's a work in progress, is it? At the
moment? It is, yep. It should be done soon enough. More bar space, better service. You know, what more do you want in life?
Look forward to a few vouchers into to sample.
Yeah. Look at that, always off the freebie, aren't
isn't
you?
Isn't it? Like, hey? Not even shy, just straight in. Not even a warm up.
Not even a hi, Phil.
No, nothing. Oh, you look great today, you've lost weight. No, just straight in. Where's my freebies?
Where the tents have come down, it's open plan. The roof is well and truly off. We've gone convertible for the cooler months as well. What you got planned for us down here at Brasting?
Oh, we've just had an amazing weekend, and obviously still finishing off today. We've got a wonderful midweek party on Wednesday for Halloween with Jazzy Jeff returning.
He's not coming back, is he?
He's coming back. He said he wanted to meet you.
No, he didn't.
He says he still hasn't met you all these times.
No,
so
he didn't.
I spoke highly of you.
Why does he... I mean... I'm not being mean here or anything like that, but what is it about Jazzy Jeff Bressy? This must be, what, fourth time, fifth time?
Yeah, even more than that. It's just very... He's a very likeable person. He's a very versatile DJ. It kind of sits in with the concept of Brasty, and it's open for everyone. There's a lot of DJs that will do one music genre, and that's kind of it. And he's very good. He's one that can go from a modern track down to a rock and roll track to a 70s sample that would work for everyone. And it doesn't matter how many times he's here, he always has a huge crowd, so it makes perfect sense for
that's
us.
That's us talking music on Dubai Eye 103.8. Yeah. It's what we do best at the
versatile.
Moment. So 4001 if you want to send your thoughts. Did I just see the Holophonic Boys come down?
Holophonic Boys are here, yeah. They're just about to play at 5 o'clock.
They're not.
They are.
Yeah.
They're about to have a poolside session.
Holophonic are?
Yeah.
It's a bit of a coup, isn't it? Because, you know, they're
good friends of the family.
They're big guns these days,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, they're all over the world
signed
now.
Signed record deals and everything.
I worry for our future, I really do. Dubai 103.8 will be replaced by Talk Sport.
Okay, next time Gary Lineker will be in this seat or something like that, won't he?
It's about time you guys upped your game, you know. Some of these T-shirts are very debatable. Face for radio as well.
Certainly, there's no doubt about that.
So DJ Jazzy Jeff's coming down, that's got to get that correct.
Yes.
$1 million question is, where is the Fresh Prince? Is he making another cameo?
I believe he's in town. I believe he's been up the verge, so to speak. I think he's enjoyed the samples of the city as per usual.
There you go, you heard it first, DJ Jazzy Jeff.
He seems to be in town. That's kind of where my liability stops.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're in town and your mate's in town, who knows what might happen, eh?
Well, you know, one thing leads to another. You catch up for dinner and... Oh, hi, how are you?
You got tickets available for that or not?
Free entry as always. Everyone's readily available. It's a Wednesday night, so we can all survive a Thursday.
Wednesday's
a little bit tired.
Wednesday's the new Thursday, though, isn't it?
Sorry, yeah, exactly that. You know, let's just every day of the week is a new Thursday and Friday.
And is it Halloween? Do we need to wear a costume?
Well, you're dressed already, Arch, so we're good to go. Chris might have a shave, and judging by Tom's forehead. Honestly, we've got a trio right going here.
Frankenstein.
We're lucky this is radio, that's all I'm saying. We're a little bit off topic on the old sport, but...
So we'll get back to the sport. Should we talk Argyle? You don't want to talk Argyle at the
moment,
Don't want to
talk Argyle, no.
What's happened? What's gone wrong?
No.
After the highs of last season, what's happened?
Yeah, no, it's more of a personal... a couple of friends have moved on from the club and gone to different clubs, so I now follow them. I'm not loyal necessarily to the club, just my mates.
That's
all it needs. So
you keep an eye on Swindon's progress.
Swindon at the moment, League Two, yeah. They seem to be mixed bag so far. I think they're mid-table, pushing up for the top 6-7, so yeah, surviving so far.
Yeah, they are.
I don't want to talk about Man United because that's just embarrassing now.
That's fine, we won't
do
that.
So I'd rather talk about Brasty FC. Not that we have a team, but...
You should launch a team.
Either way, they're performing better than Man United, so...
There is an awful lot of teams performing.
You should put one in the league. You should put one in the local league.
Oh, you can manage.
I can't manage anything. I can't manage standing up these days. So
that's apparent. Or staying on your feet.
But there's plenty going on.
I could manage. I'll do it for a
fee.
I could become manager of Brasty FC.
Okay.
If there's a genuine interest there to set up a team.
What's the text? 4001.
Yeah.
All right. Text is in. Player profiles.
Yeah. Why not?
Skill level.
McCarty's the manager.
McCarty's the manager, and we'll hold tryout soon enough.
We've had one already. He's come in already. Says up for it, Dale Gordon.
Dale Gordon would play down that right wing, even with that dodgy hip of his.
Any other stars of present or past that we could call on to pull on the shirt for Brasty? Do you think
Jazzy Jeff to see?
Jazzy
play?
Jeff, centre forward,
fresh Prince, centre half.
Yeah, friends of the complex. We have a couple. that are always in and out of the bar, so I'm sure we'll call on Salgado, who's been in.
Yeah, Michel.
Quite a few times.
Robin van Persie, he's retiring, yeah, apparently.
He's a good friend of the complex. So
Trevor,
yeah,
we could get Trevor.
Trevor Stephen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Trevor Sinclair. We could get them both.
Get both of them.
See,
yeah.
I think we've got a championship team going on now, haven't we?
Matt Letizia, he was here during the week.
Matt Letizia,
friend of the
here.
Dubai Saints that are always in Barasti.
Yeah,
so they were playing golf during the week.
Hang on. Let's forget the old local leagues. I think we've got the makings of the new MK Dons, haven't we?
I think we're in.
Robbie Fowler is flying in this week as well. So the team's
going to say Robbie Greenfield.
No. Robbie Greenfield.
I think we're covered here. So, any sponsors out there?
Well, Barasti, no?
No, sorry, we're tied up with Jazzy.
Look, it's always great to catch up with you, Mr. H. Apart from, obviously, Halloween this week, so that's a big one for people to get down as well. Are you still packing them in on the big screen in terms of sport and everything? Still true to your sports?
Always. It's always about the sport. Keep to the roots.
Autumn Rugby Internationals next weekend, on the big screen.
They'll be on the big screen as well.
We'll keep football on the small screens, but the rugby on the big screen.
We'll have a mix and match. As long as the timings work, then the rugby crowd is always readily available.
So we keep the balance out there.
Yeah, absolutely. We're an access for all venue.
I like that.
Yeah, it's good.
It's nice to catch up with you.
Angie,
thanks very much indeed for stopping.
Next time, dress up for you.
I'm trying my best. Archie, I want to continue my conversation with Phil. Can you tell us what happened in the rugby a bit earlier on? Is that right?
Yeah, I can tell you. Well, there's a couple of big domestic games today. One's finished. That's the domestic final in New Zealand, the MPC final. Auckland won the Mitre 10 Cup in an overtime thriller versus Canterbury. 40 points to 33. It's their first win since 2007, Tom. The second final I want to talk about domestically is the Currie Cup final. That's going to take place in Newlands in Cape Town. It's the home team. Western Province are hosting the Sharks. Rugby today in Yokohama, Japan. We are 1 year away from the World Cup final. Semi-finals are all going to be in Yokohama, Japan. Two teams getting an early run out. It was Bledisloe Cup 3, which was done and dusted because the All Blacks have won the series 2-0 going to the third match. But it was the All Blacks taking on Australia again in Japan, and the All Blacks won the match. They won the Bledisloe for the 16th consecutive year, but they won the match. They've blackwashed the Aussies 37 points to 25, tries to 2. Let's just have a quick listen to the highlights. The All Blacks defeating the Wallabies the third consecutive time this year.
All Blacks building steadily and patiently. Barron on to his brother Williams now to score. Well, they waited and they waited, and eventually it's Liam Squire on his return to the All Blacks who busts through for the opening try.
The threats on the outside of Sonny Burden were dangerous.
Well, Reid takes it quickly off the back. Kieran, well, that was just way too easy. The two wingers operating together. Hooper now strongly driving at the line. Sabia made the tackle, getting back to contest possession. There for the Wallabies. They go to the short side. The start is over. It's no volley. Pressure coming on from the New Zealand scrum. Reid picks it up off the back. Petanara, they switch it to the left. And Ioane's got a bit of space in front of him too. Ioane breaks a couple. Gets it away to Barrett. Barrett will score. They make it look simple. But that is a superb team try for the All Blacks. Desperation now for Australia, playing with 14, but Folau can always change things. Matt Todd makes a great tackle, and Ben Smith picks up the intercept. Ben Smith will race away, and he will score and put it beyond any doubt. Harris told to bail out. You can see the arm out from referee Brian Quatt. Short ball, it's a good one too. Beautifully worked by Karibi. But it's 32 to 20, 3 minutes to play, and Moonga runs straight and hard at the defence, gets a lovely ball away to Ben Smith, breaking tackles.
Left is
wanted going to free the pass, they held through the legs from Barrett. Rico Ioane scores. Magic stuff. Another test try for Rico Ioane. But what about the tunnel ball from Bowden Barrett?
Oh, the tunnel ball from Bowden Barrett.
Wants to end it, and Romain Poits obliges in a match that produced, well, some magic moments for both teams. All Blacks too good. They take it 37-20.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.